time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Hello, everybody. We've finally thawed out here. We're not under the, winter storm advisory. Finally, it's actually going to be up to about 70 degrees by this weekend here. Looking forward to that. Excited. You know, you had a little taste of the cold. I did, and I didn't like it, but it's good to know warm weather on the horizon. Before we really get into anything else, I want to give you a quick sports update, even for the people who don't like sports. This is more of a Cowboys update. Last podcast, I talked about, what was going on, how I disowned the Cowboys last year. And I said last week, there's a way to get me back, and that is to hire Deion Sanders as the new head coach. And guess what? They didn't do that. No, they did not. They made the worst coaching decision ever, in my opinion. And I'm like, what happened to Deion? I said last week that the worst choice would be Kellen Moore, who used to be their offensive coordinator, who got fired, then bounced over to the Chargers, then to the Eagles, where he's at now, even though they're in, the Super Bowl, and he's the offensive coordinator. He's not great, right? But I said that he would be the worst choice, which they didn't hire Kellen Moore, because I had no idea, not even an inkling, no one did, of the idea that Brian Schottenheimer, who was their current offensive coordinator, who also, by the way, didn't call the plays. Yeah, he didn't. So nobody thought he had a shred of a chance to land the job. And also, just for your own knowledge, no other team that had openings, I think there were seven, even interviewed him. They had no interest in this dude. None. They didn't want him. Does that mean anything? Because it should. It should mean a lot. But nope, the Cowboys hired him to be their new head coach. And then Jerry Jones has a press conference, him, Steven, and Brian Schottenheimer. And Jerry was combative. He was like angry about what the media was saying about it, saying that he doesn't take chances and he wants to be in his comfort zone. And goes, this is most out of my comfort zone. This is a gamble. A roll of the dice is not a splashy move. There was not a lot of interest in him, and he has no head coaching experience. This is a gamble. And he's upset. And I'm like, why are you upset? If this is the right decision, if you don't feel bad about this, why are you getting mad? Just be like, I don't care what you guys think. No, he does care. It's a whole thing. And then to make matters worse, Stephen Jones, who I always thought was level-headed, he came out and he's like kind of making fun. He's like, people mention the drought that we've been in, and he air quotes the drought. Yeah, dude, it's been 30 years since you've been to the NFC Championship game. It's more than a drought. And then I find out that the reason they really hired him is because this Brian Schottenheimer is really close with Dak Prescott, who I have my issues with, being the most expensive quarterback out there, who also happens to be choke artist of the year. So you have, it's just a mess. I can't stand it. So long story short, I am again out with the Cowboys. We're done. And for the foreseeable future, I can't see getting back and board on this. It hurts my heart, but we have the Super Bowl coming up, which is set with the Chiefs again for the third time in 3 years versus the Eagles, which I know it's gross. Nobody wants that. The Eagles. Ugh. So I'm looking for Patrick to send those boys home empty again. Cause there is way too many Eagles fans around here. Oof. I actually tried to watch the Eagles Commanders divisional game, and I just couldn't. As a lifelong Cowboys fan, I wanted to watch them both lose. I couldn't pick the lesser of two evils to watch to win. Couldn't stomach either of them winning, so I just had to turn it off. So again, but it's just like built into me. I can't be a fan of anything in the NFC East, so I'm moving out of that whole division. Whew. So, sorry, but I had to give you an update on that. I'm very disappointed in the Cowboys. Again, I'm looking for a new team. I do have, I am going to do a Saturday podcast where I go through the teams that I'm considering, saying the pros, cons, why. It's going to be good. You just got to give me some time. Let's just move on. So we've spent too much time. But here's the thing. That sports segment that you get from good old Pastor Adam, I keep telling myself I should make, a sports bumper. Only problem is my non-sports listeners, the people who don't care about sports or the Cowboys or whatever, they'll just skip it. They'll look for the bumper and they'll skip it. But the thing is, I need the non-sports fans to understand my misery, my hurt, and the hurt that this team in particular puts me through. And I just need you to commiserate with me. That's all. So we will move on. We'll move on. We're going to get to the meat and potatoes of this thing today, and that's the devotional. And it starts with this. I listened to a new song yesterday. So here's, I watch a lot of different YouTube. I subscribe to a lot of YouTube channels about worship leading, churches. It's something that I check in on weekly, see what's going on. I learn some things. All right. And I was watching this pastor. I don't even know which church or worship pastor, whatever church he was at, talking about a week in his life. And one thing was he was planning a service. And I saw this song on there called Make Room. And it's by Community Music. And first of all, what is with the name Community Music? Is that not the most generic name for a band you've ever heard of? And I kept thinking, what were the other options? What if they had a list? Okay, here we have Community Music. We have People Playing Music. We have We Make Music. Or maybe just Church Music. It's just so generic. And I find it fun to come up with a band name. It's part of the fun of being in a band, right? I've been in a bunch of bands where I've, helped come up with the name. I've either come up with the name myself or we've worked together to come up with a band. Some of these names. So we're starting all the way in high school with Imposter, Slave Chains. They were heavy metal bands. They were super heavy, right? Then we have Joy Boy. I had nothing to do with that name. It was just supposed to be a funny type of thing. Not good. I was in a band called Liberty's Teeth. That's a cool name. I was in one called Perfect Strangers. It was an acoustic duo. And we met on Craigslist as strangers. And we were perfect together. That kind of made it, right? Although a lot of people thought going in that we were going to be a Deep Purple tribute band. Because they have a song called Perfect Strangers. We were not. We didn't do one Deep Purple song. Weird. Is it a 90s tribute called Shinebox, which was awesome? That's a fun name. Crown Royal, Friction, Juju Minstrels, Chasing Rain, another good name. 25 or 64, the Chicago Experience, Low Country Smoke. The list goes on and on. Now, I know if I was in, a band naming committee and Community Music was pitched to me, I'd probably pitch it right in the trash because I'd be like, no creativity. I need creativity in all aspects of my life. But in all seriousness, Community Music, the name or the band, it actually comes out of Community Christian Church in Naperville, Illinois, which was right by where I used to live. I actually visited this church a number of times. I did a send church planning conference thing. I was there with some other pastors. That was fun a while ago, long time ago. But we call it Yellow Box. I mean, they do too. Here's a picture of it right here. As you can see, they even have Yellow Box on there as a sign. So, it's called Yellow Box. But, and I mean, listen, this isn't has anything to do with the devotional, but I'd have gone for Yellow Box Music or the Yellow Box Band way before Community Music, for reals. I mean, I don't think it's too late, Community Music folks. I'm just saying. Anyways, this song that I'm going to reference is called Make Room, and it's from 2019. So I guess it's not really a new song. It somehow slipped by me all these years, and that's disappointing. But if I think about it, I really didn't get on Spotify hardcore until 2020 to make a routine of listening to all the new Christian music on Fridays. So it got through a year before I really got super serious about finding Christian music. And by the way, there's like 5 different versions of this song. If you go to community music on Spotify, and there's a brand new version that just came out this year. So within the last month, and it's not for me. If I'd have heard the new version, we would have lasted up to probably through the verse. And then I'd have been like, I'm out. The song, the original, fantastic. So good. It's so good. And I can't stop listening to it. I've had it on repeat since then. And I actually want to make a worship night around that song, which I am planning to do, by the way. Yeah, it's probably going to be the big annual worship night that I put on in July. And also, exciting news, my hope and prayer, my plan, is I'll have a handful of my original worship songs I can play as well. I have three mostly written. I just got to start recording them, and I have concepts for some other ones. So it's exciting times. We got some good stuff. But again, this song, Make Room, is something I really want to dive into today. Because the name of the song, you know, performed by the church worship band, I'm sure you have an idea of what it's going to be about, right? I hope so. Making room for God, making room for Jesus in your life. But that's really the surface message. There's a whole other meaning that really got me thinking. It made me, you know, like sort of stop and marinate on it and really think about this whole song, this whole message in there. So for the surface level message, meaning of the song, Make Room, my first question is, what do we make room for in our lives? And there's a couple things that we can think of. So we could think of material possessions, stuff, or we can think of things that take time and effort from us. Material wise, you know, making room looks one way. For instance, if you look in my daughter's room, you'd be hard pressed to find room for anything else to fit in there. But somehow she keeps accumulating stuff. It's crazy. If we're talking about material possessions, if I wanted to, you know, get something, what could I get that's not normal, you know, that you wouldn't expect me to get? Guitars, right? If I wanted to get a new guitar, do I have room for a new guitar? Now, the answer to that is always yes, but I don't have any space left on my wall that I hang my guitars. I do have 2 racks next to me, one that holds 10 guitars that's totally full, and then I have one that holds 6 that I could fit 3 more guitars in. Or 2 more, actually 2 more. I can fit 2 more. But if I were to get 3 new guitars, now we're in a pickle. That means to make room, I either have to get rid of another guitar, not likely, or expand to another rack. I don't have room for another rack. I could get rid of the posters and autographed pictures that I have on the wall. I got to get rid of those. Then that would open up 12 more spots for guitars. But the point is that I would have to, it would take effort for me to, and planning, to make room if I don't want a mess and I don't want chaos and I don't want just things thrown all over the place. Then there are things in our lives that take our time. And we need to make room in our schedules for things we find are important. Now, if we think of time, we know that it's one of the most precious commodities that we have. I mean, all of us have the same 24 hours in the day. Yet how we choose to spend those hours probably speaks volumes about what we value, whether it's family, work, rest, or hobbies, personal interests, things like that, we always seem to find room and time for the things that matter most to us. So then the question is our relationship with Jesus important enough to make room for him in our busy schedules? So let's reflect on what it means to truly make room for Jesus, both in our time and in our hearts. And then that'll allow him to work in ways that maybe we didn't expect. So we have to first realize that time is a valuable asset to us. Like I said, we all are given the same amount of time each day, yet we also find ourselves filling it with a multitude of activities. We talk about the demands that we have in the world, our work, our social commitments. Then we talk about social media, Netflix, YouTube, hobbies on top of that. All these things often leave us just a little bit of space for anything else. And by the way, how many of you have been overwhelmed with you're not having enough time to get everything done? You feel like you have so much to do and such little time, but yet in that time, you still find yourself scrolling through Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Happens a lot, right? It's not just me. It's like, sometimes I'm like, just stop, put the phone down. You got to go. And then I'll just leave the phone somewhere and I go do it. But then I also fall into the trap of I leave my office to do something. And then I get to the other end of the building and I'm like, what am I doing here? And then I forget what I'm doing. And then it's a whole thing. Anyways, back to the topic. What if we intentionally carved out time each day for the most important relationship in our lives? And that would be our relationship with Christ. I know you've heard it a million times from me, from pastors, from other church elders and deacons and your friends at church. You know, you all hear it. It's all the right thing to say. And you're like, yep, I'm going to do it. Then we don't a lot of times. But in Ephesians 5:15-16, it reminds us, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. That's a scripture right there. That's something you're like, if you just read that and think about it and then put your day, what, it's crazy, right? So I'm sure you've heard the term, people talk about you should be a good steward of your money. Well, shouldn't we also be a good steward of our time too? I mean, the truth is, we make time for what matters most. If we value our relationship with Christ, we would make room for him in our lives every day. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you intentionally carved out time just to be with Jesus, just to spend time with them? In what ways can you say to yourself that you can make the most of every opportunity in your busy life to prioritize him? Now, I also want you to remember this. Making room for Jesus means making room for his work. In Luke 10:38-42, we read the story of Mary and Martha, two sisters who welcomed Jesus into their home. Martha was busy with preparations while Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet listening to his teaching. Martha was frustrated and she went to Jesus and she was like, tell Mary to help. You know, and Jesus responded, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. In that same way, Jesus calls us to make room for him, not just in our schedules, but in our hearts. So when we make room for Jesus, we allow him to do the work. We allow him to do what he wants to do in us, through us, and for us. And this may mean stepping away from busyness of life to just sit in his presence, trusting that he will take care of everything else. So are you more like Martha, focused on your to-do list and the demands of life? Or are you like Mary, willing to let Jesus fill your heart and fill his peace and fill your heart with in your life with his peace and direction? And by the way, my wife will defend Martha till the cows come home. She always says she's a Martha and the world needs Marthas. She actually just gave her testimony last month at the Women's Navigate group. And she used the Mary and Martha story and shared her testimony and all that stuff. And it was good stuff. A lot of people liked it. There's another one just coming up next week. If you're in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, and want to go to a women's thing where you hear a testimony and a women's Bible story, a Bible story on a woman in the Bible that, you know, anyways. So now I want to get to the secondary meaning behind the Make Room song that really hits for me. Yes, we need to make room for God in our busy lives, spend time with Him, open our heart to Him. But here is what the chorus says in that song, which I really like. And it's super simple. And it also frustrates me a lot of times being a songwriter. You try to make these great songs and all this, but it's the simplest things that just really connect. So here's what the chorus, you know, and I haven't been able to write one of those simple, connecting, awesome songs. I admit it, right? Anyways, here we go. So here's the chorus of the song. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do. To do whatever you want to. Making room for Jesus is trusting God to do whatever He wants. That means trusting Him with the entirety of our lives. When we make space for Christ, we're not only allowing Him to shape our hearts, but also guide our decisions, desires, and actions. And this is an act of surrender, where we open our lives to His will, saying, do whatever you want to do in me, through me, and for me. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, Paul urges us, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. When we make room for Christ, we can no longer make room for our plans or our desires. We make room for His perfect will to unfold in our lives. And this requires a deep trust, willingness to surrender our own plans, we have to have a bold openness to the unexpected ways God might move. So for me, since forever, I've been out performing in bands, in bars, clubs, theaters, festivals, you name it. It was a lot of work, but guess what? It was also a lot of fun. And it became a lifestyle. Most of my friends were either in the bands with me or in other bands that I'd run into out on the scene. And it was just like, that was my life, is being out playing. And every weekend I'm out doing something. But when I got serious about wanting to be in ministry full time, and I made room for God to work, when I trusted Him, He brought me here to South Carolina. I do still lead this worship band, but there is no going and playing out anywhere. And there's this whole big portion of my life that I sacrificed. And guess what? I'm fine with it. Because when you trust God with your life and you look for His guidance, He guides you and changes your desires and your focus. So I have peace with not being in that scene, going out and playing and all that stuff, and getting rid of all that stuff. I had to get rid of a big piece of me to follow Jesus and His plan for me. And I know there's people out there that wouldn't give that up or can't give that up, don't want to give that up. But for me, it was a necessary thing. And in all honesty, I would love to go and do a gig again and go out there and play once in a while. I do think that I can, but it isn't going to be anything like what it used to be. It's not going to be a lifestyle. It's going to be something fun to do once in a while, maybe once or twice, maybe three times a year, if that, right? Also, remember this, if you make room for Jesus in your life, you're probably going to be pushed out of your comfort zone. Asked to do things you don't necessarily want to do, go places maybe you don't want to go, be the person you didn't even know you could be. And it isn't going to be easy. But again, if Jesus is important to you, the relationship with him is truly something you want, you'll make that necessary room for him. So let me ask you right now, is there anything in your life you need to surrender to Christ? Are you ready to trust him with whatever he wants, even when it challenges your own comfort and plans? And I hope the answer is yes to that. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus teaches, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." When we prioritize our relationship with Jesus, he promises to take care of everything else. The pursuit of his kingdom and righteousness should be at the top of the list. And as we make room for him, he will align our hearts with his perfect purpose. When we seek Jesus first, the rest of our lives begin to fall in place. These things that once consumed our time and energy begin to lose their hold as we recognize that he is the source of everything that we need. So are you truly seeking God's kingdom first in your life? It's an important question you should ask yourself. Because look, time is a gift. It really is. And how we choose to spend it reflects what we value the most. Jesus is calling us to make room for him, both in our schedules and in our hearts. He wants us to do more than just have him sit in the background of our lives. He wants to work through us, with us, and for us. And if we are intentionally creating space for him, we'll discover that we have the time to give to him. And that time will never be wasted. I promise. It's a fact. It'll be the most fruitful, fulfilling use of your time as we experience his transforming work and his perfect will in our lives. So let's make room for him today. Let's offer our time, our hearts, our lives as a living sacrifice, trusting that he will do whatever he wants to do, and that his plans for us are always good. So that's where I'm going to leave it. So I hope you got something out of this. I haven't said it in a while. Please share this with your friends and family and coworkers and neighbors and anybody, strangers out on the street. Tell them about this. It'll be good for them. Yeah. So you have a good one. See you next Wednesday.